What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Skerritt and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Skerritt, and I'm with Amy Zander. Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm doing well, Kevin. How are you?
Very good. Still in lockdown, I think. Yep. I think we're still in lockdown. Are we still in lockdown?
I don't know. I don't even know what day it is.
What day is it?
I know. I just know that it's crazy thundering out or storming out right now. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's the weather keeps us interested these days.
Sure. I took the longest bike ride I've ever taken as an adult last night. It was awesome. I went like 5 miles, which I know probably doesn't seem like a lot to some people, but I was like, woohoo, that was awesome.
Woohoo, yeah. We started using an app called Map My Run, which tracks where you walk and hike and run. We live right next to a state park, and there's trails all throughout it. And so there is no for this part of the park, there are no trail maps. So we're making our own. So we've, in the last 2 weeks, we've mapped like 20 miles of trails.
Nice. So, yeah, are you those crazy people that try to like make your map a picture? Like you walk a certain way to make like a smiley face or a picture?
Oh, no, that's a really good idea, though.
I know. I've seen those. I've seen like bikers and stuff like that spell things or, yeah, do things with their run. Yeah. Now I expect great things from you, Kevin.
I know. That's going to be really, really funny to do that. Yeah. Okay. And then you can share it with people. So if people are in the same area and they're on that app, they'll see your workout.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, the things that we do to entertain ourselves. Okay. Well, let's talk about some brand stuff, shall we?
Yeah. What are we talking about today?
We are going to talk about creating a corporate culture, and say that 10 times fast.
Right.
How to infuse this new idea, now assuming that the listeners have been following along with us, maybe a handful of the archetypes were interested enough to take the questionnaire. And if you have not, please do go take the questionnaire at brandarchetypes.com. It's free, and it will guide you by creating a list of the archetypes in chronological order based on your answers. And then from there, you can listen to the podcast on how to select your archetype. And then once you do, you're going to need to incorporate this new idea into your company. So today we're going to be talking about the who, what, when, where, why, and how of incorporating a brand archetype into your corporate culture. Actually, the where is kind of covered, kind of, don't you think? Where is going to be in your company, right? So let's go through the others. And actually, I suspect, Amy, that this is going to be a long enough one where we're going to get down to the last issue of how to incorporate it into your company. And we're probably going to end up having to split that one off into a separate podcast, because I'm looking at our notes and I think we have more than a half an hour to talk about here. So we shall see here when we get down to it. So let me start out with talking about the why. Why should you try to incorporate this into your corporate culture? Really, probably the most obvious reason is if you don't do it, it doesn't happen. If you don't purposely and intentionally integrate it into your company, absolutely, and this is not just a guess. I've actually seen it happen many hundreds of times. You will fall back to your old ways. It saddens me that someone will actually hire me. I'll tell them that this is going to happen. I'll remind them that this is going to happen. And then I'll try to encourage them to do the right things after they go through the process. And as soon as they get back to their office, they fall back on their old ways. So, we'll talk about ways to try to avoid that, shall we?
The good news, though, is that one of the reasons why brand archetypes is so effective is that it is so easy.
Yes.
So, yeah. So you just have to remember that it's not always this daunting thing that it might seem like right at first.
Right. And so your goal is eventually to make your brand strategy a habit of all of your employees, that everybody thinks about it in the same way. And everybody sees the mistakes that are made as they're being made. If you can get your employees to treat this idea as a habit, it's just a part, you know, I say it's the same as showing up to work and picking up your email, picking up the phone messages, you know, answering, you know, opening up letters that were mailed to you. If you do those things naturally and it becomes a part of your process, then you can do this stuff naturally as a part of your process. So it is absolutely is best if it becomes a habit of you and your employees. And you have to be proactive, not reactive. It's better to seek out and find mistakes than it is to find out that you made a mistake later. Oh, there are so many examples of those. And that's obviously going to be its own podcast of brand mistakes.
Right. Ooh, that'd be a fun one.
Yeah. Let's cue one version of that up here soon. Yeah,
for sure.
So when do you think we should be incorporating?
So I think you should incorporate it right away. And that's another great, beautiful thing about picking an archetype and running with it and shifting your marketing in this way, is that you can start doing stuff right away with bringing your everything into alignment with the archetype that you chose. And one of the things I think is also really cool about adopting the brand archetype thing is not very many, at least in my experience, or not enough, of course, companies view their brand as their company culture. And that's what we're, you know, that is what we're talking about today. So they might think their brand is like, oh, well, sure, the ads we put out or the billboard we make or the brochure we print.
Consistent colors, you know.
Right, like that kind of stuff, which, you know, we've talked about those elements of brand before. But it really, you know, we're going to get into this, but it really has to do with your culture, too, like how you answer the phone and things like that. So we're going to go into that. And once you really think about your brand as your culture, the shift really starts to happen. So, like you asked me, when should you do this? Right away. The more emphasis is needed up front, of course, just like there's a learning curve. And when your team starts to integrate this thinking into how do they do business, it takes a while to make a habit and to start thinking about things. And of course, there's often a lot of enthusiasm right up front. And like you mentioned earlier, sometimes some people fall away or fall back into old habits or forget it's not always top of mind. And so we have a lot of strategies and work with people ways to keep it at top of mind and make sure that it kind of sticks, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to end up my section there by just saying that you don't really want to let up until the brand just like flows from your company. It becomes natural and people are doing it and rocking it, and then it becomes the new habit, so you don't have an old one to fall back on.
Right. That's a great point, that flowing. It's not a habit unless it's natural.
You know, right.
When you said it, you have to put emphasis up front, yeah, we are definitely going to be talking about, again, it'll probably be the next podcast, but we're going to talk about the kinds of things that you can do to nudge your employees and to build it into your processes and things like that. So that upfront emphasis, we are definitely going to cover the deets on that. So,
yeah.
Okay, so let me talk about the who. We've talked about the where, the why, the when. So who is in charge of brand in your company right now? And not sadly, but very typically, the answer is no one really is in charge. What do you mean by in charge of brand? What does that actually mean? Your corporate structure, your hierarchy, your reports and your charges, and you know who's boss. Everybody's different in that regard, but there's a general structure that there's generally one person in charge at the top, and then it flows down into a triangular kind of format with more reports below each person at a level. And so who should be in charge can be different for each company, but one thing is for sure, you really need to get top level buy-in. If the president or the CEO of your company does not even understand that you're doing this, or if they do know you're doing it, but they don't know what you're doing or what the expectations or outcomes are intended to be, and they don't really buy into it. They're just kind of letting you do it because it's a, you know, something that you asked for nicely. Well, without that buy-in, you're probably going to hit a lot of roadblocks, or worse yet, ideas and processes that will stop you from doing the things that you need to do. So it's so, so critical. You have to get buy-in from the top. Now let's take a step down. Let's talk about like departmental managers or other bosses. Of course, you have operational considerations, but in this case, you really should have a boss, a manager of the brand process. Now, this may or may not, in your case, be a full-time job. It might just be, you know, a director of marketing or director of operations that is given the task because you think that they can handle it and do a good job at it. And it might only be maybe an hour a week. But most people are kind of surprised by how much time it takes to implement this. And like you said, Amy, there's more work up front than there is later. In fact, if you do a really great job of incorporating this idea into your actual corporate culture, you'll find that there's very little work to do because people kind of live and breathe it, and it becomes kind of, it has its own momentum. So what other people are involved? You know, we've got the top level execs. We've got the person who's in charge of brand management. But there's also this kind of unexpected role. And we've talked about it once before. We call them the brand evangelists. And these can be anybody in the company. Usually what happens is the brand strategy will be launched, and you'll get a couple of people who figure out what this means, and they see mistakes all over the place. It's kind of like they're genetically wired to see this stuff where other people don't. And it's not that other people are less intelligent and they can't intellectually figure this stuff out. It's just that these brand evangelists are just kind of wired differently and they see everything. You got to find those people in your company. Give them the task purposely, consciously of finding these things, seeking them out, search and destroy, right? The more mistakes that you can find up front, and the more evangelists are going to be keeping an eye out for your brand in the long term, then the better off you will be. So I think that the brand evangelists are actually the most critical role in this process, but it's impossible to figure out who they are until you actually start to implement it. And I think the last who person that are the people that we would incorporate into this section would be your clients and the people who are associated with you, you know, your affiliates and the people who you work with. Those people can become the receiving end of your brand, your raving fans, if you will. And this whole brand process, like business, it's not like you're doing business in a vacuum. It's a two-way street, right? You're creating products and services for people. And those people are a part of your brand process. How they receive you and how they react to you and how you interact with them is part of the process. So you want to nurture those as well. You want to train people who you are and how they should be reacting to you by being sensitive to them. So pretty much it incorporates everybody, but keep an eye out for those evangelists. It's probably the best advice I could give.
Yeah, I like how you explained that you won't always know who those people are until you start implementing the brand. They kind of just pop up. I mean, they can surprise you who ends up being somebody that maybe is more of a low-key employee or something that just is quietly observing things. Or, you know, it's cool to see how those people end up being. Yeah.
Yeah, we did give an example of, I don't know, quite a few podcasts ago where it was a guy working in a cube farm, programmer working in a cube farm, and would not have a guess that I would get a phone call from that person ever.
Right, right, right. And he had a great observation. So yeah. So basically, you just, you know, you had said that who is involved, and it's pretty much everybody in a company. And so what needs to change? Pretty much everything, right?
Yeah.
but, you know, again, this doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. It can be super exciting. And it's really fun to see the changes and the progress and the business just bringing everything around into a laser sharp branding focus, which is really awesome to see that. And there's always like that kind of a few aha moments we always have. Usually the first one is, aha, brand archetypes, it's going to save my life. And then it's like, aha, I picked my brand archetype. And then there's some moment down the road when we've been implementing and doing the work, and then we start to see the results, and it's like, aha, now I see why this is really going to ramp up my brand.
Release the Kraken.
That's right. It's really exciting to see that. It happens at different times for different companies, of course, but it does always happen. And we work with our employees to not overwhelm them when they start implementing this stuff. We have our suggestions on what to start with first and things like that. And that will, again, be in another podcast. We'll get to that. But yeah, it's really exciting. So we distill the task down to a single question always. What would a hero do? Or what would the mother do? Whatever your archetype is, you ask yourself, what would a mother do, or what would a hero do, or is this hero enough, or jester enough, or things like that?
And for those of you who are lucky enough to I won't say lucky because that implies it's better, but it's not. If you were to take two ideas and distill them into, so if I were to say I'm a combination of a neighbor and a jester, I might say Robin Williams, who lives next door to me, right?
Right.
And so your question now would be, what would Robin Williams do?
Right. Yeah. Right, right, right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever your archetype
focus
symbol is, or whatever you've come with, because they don't. Yeah. That goes back to, we've worked with lots of people. We don't always go with the one of the 12 main ones. We can come up with a new one. So, yeah. So, well, your first job is to get everybody to start constantly asking this question, you know, do we answer the phone like Robin Williams would answer? Or do we, is our conference room decorated like the jester would decorate it? And things like that. And this has to happen on a daily basis, many times a day. So you evaluate your entire operation top to bottom. And again, we have a systematic way to do that that is doable and not overwhelming. And you have to always remember too that like no issue is too small. You can create a list of every touch point in your company, like anything seen by other people outside of your company. And we've done this before. We've had people print out like all of their website pages and invoices and business cards and letterhead and brochures that they've ever, all that stuff. And you can even print out the home pages of your social accounts, things like that. And we have them lay them out on a big table and we're saying, okay, let's look at all this. Does it look consistent? Does this look like it all matches and it's got the same message? And generally it doesn't, because that's why we're going through the process. But the goal is at the end of all of this to say, yes, this all matches. Everything looks the same. It's got the same message, the same pictures, all that good stuff. So
have you ever seen anybody who's even gotten close on that process?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, people that we've been working with for a few years.
Oh yeah. Okay. But not first timers though.
No, I see what you're saying. Yeah. We just interviewed Dana last week and I was thinking, his stuff for sure. He's there.
But when I first had him do that exercise 14 years ago, it was a wild hot mess. And right. If you're listening, Dana, sorry, it was a wild hot mess.
No, but we talked about that. No, yeah. He would be, but to be clear, it didn't take him 14 years. That's just how long we've been working together.
No, that's right. True that. Right. We're still working on changing everything.
Yeah,
I think you scared people when you said everything. Everything must change. Oh my gosh, are you serious? No, actually, it's not everything must change. Everything must be tended to.
Sure.
And only things that you identify must change. Let's not freak people out too badly here, Amy, because it can be scary enough as it is. But yeah, this is good stuff that you're talking about. I like that. What would archetype do? What would your archetype do?
Yeah.
So really, truly, when you say no issue is too small, literally, nothing is too minor. I mean, how Sally ties her shoelaces, is that really within brand?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I would go to everyone's individual the way they dress kind of thing.
Yeah,
you can't really tell people how to dress at work. But no, I mean, things that, you know, like we mentioned earlier, like just how you answer your phone or how your tagline in your, or not your tagline, your signature line in your email is, you know, just making sure everybody is, you know, just on the same page with that, with everything you do. And when you start doing these things, your marketing actually becomes way easier. There's that just takes the guesswork out of everything, because every time you go to produce a new anything, whether it's a proposal or a billboard or a Facebook post or whatever, you just say, is this whatever archetype you are enough? Is this hero enough? Is this whatever enough? And then you know, I've said this before, what I love about it is that it razor focuses you on what you are doing, but it also eliminates everything you're not doing.
Not doing, right.
Yeah.
So you just talked about a billboard, and obviously the things that go on the billboard, you know, like your logo and your tagline and your color selection and your images, those are all identity elements. How does identity fit in? Does that stuff have to be updated as well?
Sure. And, you know, we've gone through that, you know, once... In a perfect world, you would pick your archetype first, then you'd pick your name, your logo, whatever. But usually it doesn't work that way. People have been in business for a while and then they're like, oh, we really need to step up our brand. And it's hard, you know, it's hard to take that leap like Dana did, where he had this name, the business name just wasn't really doing a whole lot for him. And he took the step to change his business name. But not everybody can do that or is willing to do that just because they have that brand equity already in their name. But you can update your logo, your colors, things like that. I mean, yeah, everything should be, all the obvious things about your brand element should be looked at first.
Right. And then all of that goes into a style guide, of course.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, like going back to your touch point thing, I would say the advice is anything that is seen outside your company by anyone else or they interact with it in some way, you know, like how your forms are built inside your website, your customers are interacting with that, and that's part of your company. So those are what Amy was talking about with touch points. If a person has an interaction where there is the possibility that the interaction in and of itself is going to evoke some type of emotional response, whether the form was frustrating, whether it was super easy, whether it was cleanly designed, whether it was short versus long. I mean, all of those conceptual ideas that go into creating that form, that one touch point, are going to impact that person's emotional response. Those touch points are what we're really talking about. None of that stuff can be too small. You know, how Sally ties her shoes, that's not really a touch point for your company. But what color you paint your conference room, and how you answer the phone, and how your drivers drive, and you know how your operations people create your products, or
right.
your salespeople interact with people in the sales process. Those are all definitely touch points, and none of those are too small, right?
Right. Like for example, there's a company in Grand Rapids, and their trucks, they do delivery trucks and stuff, and I would say their company is probably the Ruler. And they require every single one of their semi drivers to wash their truck before they make a delivery, so that their truck is like shiny clean and perfect, and they can't have all the paper crap on the dashboard and like all that stuff. You know, like, I mean, everything they do is just like pristine clean, you know, and that's pretty cool.
Might see that as a complete waste of money, but that's part of their brand.
Right.
And I love that. I love that.
Yeah, and like you were saying earlier about forms, like if you had a form on your website, or how complicated, you know, like if you were the guru archetype, that form would probably have data and be a little bit longer and have a lot of information. And then if you were the innocent or the angel archetype, it would probably have like three fields and be super simple and, you know, thank you very much for your time.
Right? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, even forms and things like that can, all that stuff goes a long way to conveying your entire brand.
Right. Well, yeah. Amy, as expected, we're at 23 minutes and change. So let us definitely split this one in two. Yeah. Because
okay.
I think we're only about halfway through the topic. So let's wrap it up. If you have questions for us about what we've talked about today or any of the other podcasts that we've done in the past, if you haven't listened to them, please go back. You'll be enlightened. And this this podcast will make a lot more sense if you actually go back and listen to the prior ones. But we definitely want to get caught up and get to the point where it makes sense trying to incorporate this into your corporate culture. And if you do have questions, feel free to contact us. Amy, tell us about the word list, Word Girl.
Yeah, so we have word banks for each one of the 12 main archetypes. So if you think you know what your archetype is or you've selected one, we can provide you with a word bank for that archetype, which is pages and pages and lists of words and phrases and things like that that you can start incorporating into your copy that will really help you shift your brand over to the archetype you have selected. So if you are interested in one of those or many of those, let us know and we can hook you up. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, LinkedIn, all those social accounts at Brand Archetypes.
And we will talk to you next week for round two of this topic. I can't wait. I'm actually excited about it now that we've got the ball rolling on this one.
Yep. Sounds good. Have a good week, Kevin.
Okay. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.